because you know, God is speaking very, very directly. We thank God for the word that Brother Wari shared. It's a, you know, direct confirmation of that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. And also to encourage us, brethren, that when ministry comes, without sounding for need of I'm looking for my word, for need of being balanced, I can tell you that it's coming from the throne of God. You know, so you shouldn't blow your trumpet. But the ministries that have been coming, I'm telling you that they're coming from brethren who have heard from God, and they're bringing ministry. Amen. You know, so we thank God for that confirmation. And you know, the battle has changed. We are now moving into the territory of the devil. You know, for a long time, the devil has been running around us. We have been like a people just tossed around by every wind of doctrine, by every circumstance. But I think our leg is beginning to be strong. Amen. We know where the devil is coming from, so we can block him. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
I know you're looking at the little problems around. You know, we're sharing at the campus fellowship on Wednesday. You know, sometimes we're all bored. We say, oh God, let every trouble in my life go away. If every trouble in your life goes away, you will not mature as a son of God. So God has allowed darkness in us and around us to give us spiritual wings so that we can fight it and overcome. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now. Be encouraged.
Amen.
You know, so that's why we have the troubles. And the trouble is to teach me. It says Jesus, even though he was a son. Yeah? What happened to him? Yet he learned obedience. By what? He suffered. Persecution, dejection, trouble, Pharisee, Sadducee, lawyers, different kinds. But he overcame. Amen. Even his brother said, please go ask him, are you the one we should call for? Do we look for another one? Yeah. The brother said, behold the love of God. Do you understand? So even him, he wasn't a stroll in the park. He had to overcome. Amen. So when, you know, the Bible says we should count it all joy when we go through, you know, multitude of trials. It says many are the afflictions. It didn't say few. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. However, the Lord will. So afflictions come so that we can learn to hear from God, learn to walk from God, we can grow. Amen. And we are growing. So, like that song said, we are no longer children. We are growing every day. True disciples, his sons in everywhere. Is it not so? You may choose the road more easier. But what do you choose? But I will choose the road that. To where? Do you know what is happening at Calvary? Amen. So we are not the people that are afraid of tribulation. I have a senior brother who said, God, I love tribulation. Brother Akon, he said, I love tribulation. I said, look at this man. God, let me run away from him. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Say amen.
Amen.
Many are the afflictions. If the afflictions are many, know you are a righteous man. Hallelujah. Because the Lord will do what? Deliver. He said, I have been young, I have been old. Is it not so? But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging. But he told them in Psalm 59, he said, look, I have a covenant with David. You know, Psalm 89. He said, I have a covenant with David. He said, there will never cease to be a son of David to sit on the throne. However, if his children misbehave, what will I do? I will bring rod. And what will I do? I will chasten them. Yet will I not utterly take away my love. So it's possible that somebody will be here and you have some rod on your back, rod on your head. There is some chastening going on, and you say, oh God, God has not forgotten you. He said he will not utterly. Amen. You know, David said, let me fall to the Lord. I know there is mercy there. So if there is a rod in your house or in your life of the Lord chastening, just rejoice. Hallelujah. It's God, it says, because he says, if you are a bastard, nobody will talk to yourself. Amen. No discussion. But if you are not a bastard, so we should do what? Endure the chastening of the Lord. And you know, in the world today, we have entered bad trouble. The world is a very bad place, very wicked place now. And the other day, I read something. Now, you cannot address anybody by Mr. or Mrs. Because there are some people who are not Mr. or Mrs. You cannot say Mr. Because if you say Mr., the other person who is not a Mr. will feel offended. And in order to be friendly, you have to find a new word that will not offend those who are in the middle. I don't know the new word, but I'm just telling you. Rebecca is laughing. So that's the word we are born into. That's what we're going into. And they are noisier. They have more power. They control the internet. They control Hollywood. They control everything. They wouldn't even let you rest. But the Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so last week we were looking at the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is different from the kingdom of God, in my own thinking. I may not be right, but that's my own understanding. Kingdom of God, everybody is kingdom of God. But kingdom of heaven speaks of the rule of righteousness, light in the souls of men. Amen. So there are principles. And, you know, like our brother says, post-war, when we have gone to war, when we have overcome, we need to sustain that victory. Amen. And so there are these seven principles we are looking at, seven parables we are looking at. We looked at four of them last Sunday. The first one was the parable of the sower. And you can see the scriptures give it a lot of prominence. All the three gospels carried it, Matthew and Luke. You see the Matthew 13, Mark 4, I think, and then in Luke 8. We gave it a lot of, because it's very important. Last week, we can't even deal with it, you know, because we have to cover that thing. But I believe, as the Lord gives us grace, we'll come back to it. And look, because they are assuming so much in it. One of the things that struck me, I was sharing in the house. I'm not going into it. I'll just mention it apart because I must reach the last thing. It says, when the word of God is preached, the devil comes and when he falls by the wayside, the devil comes and devour the word. Why is he devouring the word? If the word is not important, why should he come and divide? What is he looking for in the word? You know, Brebele told us that when you hear a word the first time, it's like an information. Like if somebody gives information, like one of our guardian says, if I have an advisor and he advises me, Brebele, what would I do? I'm not compelled to do what? To take the advice. So political advisor, your advice means no problem. Thank you, but you just go and sit down. I will look at it. So sometimes when we receive the word of God, it's like an advice. It's like an information. But let me, you know, what we are sharing, what is clear, take note that if you hear a word and you do not take a second look, you know they say first look is not your own because your eye is going everywhere. It's when you now say, let me go back again to what I saw. That means you are now opening your heart to look at it. All right? So when you hear a word, like I'm talking now, I say, don't mind me, what? I thought you were going to wave hand. Hey. Somebody is going to devour that word. So because every word that comes to you has energy in it, has life. The words that speak to you, they are what? They are spirit. And they are what? Life. Every word of God is loaded with life. If you don't want it, there are people who are ready to devour it. And they will devour that word you have heard and use it and oppress you. Yeah, I didn't hear amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when you receive a word, you throw it out. The devil catches it. He devours it, takes the energy in the word, and becomes stronger. He turns it around. And that's why you see every devil in Potako is a religious devil. A religious devil. Amen. Say prayer. You know, everybody can pray. Everybody can sing the song. What do you think is happening? Because they're becoming more accustomed to the things you are bringing. You know, so when the word comes, it is important the way we engage the word of God. Not just the one that comes. Even the one that comes to you. If a word comes to you and you do not receive it, it's not your own. Amen. It's like the word that fell on the wayside. And I will encourage you, look at the Trace translation. You will see. Say, when you receive the word and you hide it, you know, that's a good soil. Amen. So there has to be, we have to change our attitude to the word. We have to learn to hear. Know that it's different from meditating. Meditating means you chew the cord, you receive the word, you look at it again. All right? You look at it by writing it down, or you make a note and you go back to it, or you think about it, you open your heart, and you begin to pray about it. Say, this word, how does it apply to me? It is not the same like someone who heard it and never did anything. There are two different ways of ministering to the word. So when you get the word and you begin to open your heart, how does this word apply to me? This story about Samson, how is it applying to me in my situation? And as it touches you, begin to pray about it. You begin to respond, make changes. That's your word. You know, that word becomes, you know, it's bringing fruit in your life. And so it happens that someone says, I've been hearing and hearing. I've gone to conference, I've gone to camp meeting, nothing happened. Check your life. Maybe you have been a news hearer. You hear? And you're a forgetful hearer. Is it in your Bible? You're a forgetful hearer. Amen. Amen. You're not a doer of the word. That word will be unfruitful. And it will not bring forth fruit. Amen. Amen. Okay, so that's so much for the parable of the sower. We discussed it. We talked about the parable of the tares, wheat, and the tares. We also spoke about the mustard seed. Those were all principles. And then we spoke finally about the word that was sown in a measure. You know, the leavens sown in a measure. And then that grows. So we are going to start from there, and then we are going to look at the last three of those principles. Those ones are very deep. I've been praying. I don't know how we're going to bring it, but I'm telling you, on the surface, there are two lines. They are very, very deep. So today we are going deep into the word, you know, and because we are going to do that, we'll try and make it interactive. I'm not really going to preach. I want us to look at the word, study it, apply it, ask questions, make comments. You know, so it's going to be a group thing. I'm looking at Matthew 13. If somebody is by your side, you know, a Sunday is a day of rest. So, generally, your body needs rest. And it will take its toll. Amen. Say amen now. It will take its toll. So, if you stay too quiet, you might enter the sleep mode. Amen. So, learn from Sister Domon, stand up and shake her hand. Verse 44. Let's just pick that verse 43, just general interest. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who had ears to hear? Let him hear. Is it that they didn't have physical ears? Which other ears is he speaking about? Amen. You know, because when a word is spoken, you don't need, if you have, you will hear it. So, he's speaking about another level. We talked about it, so right there on the board of hearing. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he does what? Hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buyeth that field. Amen. Okay, so that's the parable speaking about treasure, which says like unto treasure hid in a field, in which when a man had found, he hided it, and for joy he goes and sells all. There are so many stages, you know, and then goes to buy that field or to claim ownership of the field. So one, there is a treasure, there is the field. Then it says there's a man that has found the treasure. Number three. Number four, his response to it, he hides it, he keeps it. And then number five, he does something. He goes to sell everything he has that he might buy that field. Okay, so you can see that there are different dimensions. So I'm opening it up. So what does anybody have anything that comes to you about it? How does it apply to post-war? Remember, we're discussing sustaining the victory. Remember our brother Achan, he found the treasure, is it not? And you know, we have heard about, you know, that type of treasure. So treasure, you can actually apply it in the negative. That was a negative one, but here he says it was a treasure. We assume he's speaking of something positive. So Bryce, you wanted to say something?
Yes,
please go.
You know, before you quoted that scripture, I was writing down something. Something that the Lord ministered to me 3 days ago, new through. And it has to do with meditation. And so this morning when I came, as you just started, I was writing the things. I was trying to remember what he told me. And it has to do with steps onto meditation. Steps we take in meditating on the word, because meditation is a very component part in sustaining victory. Okay, so I just wrote in my notes steps to meditation. One is hide.
Is what?
Hide. Hide. Hiding the word. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you." So it's a post-war strategy. You take the word and you hide it in your heart. The second step in meditation...
Sorry, one word about how do you hide?
Good.
Just one, you know, positive. If, What you normally do? What?
You memorize the word.
Memorize the word?
Or you read it over and over. You read it over and over. And by the time you do that, you are getting used to the word. You can turn it into what we call mnemonics. You know, that is, you do something or you write down something that will help you remember that word. All right, so constantly, and as you do, sometimes the mnemonics can be a song. You turn that word, that scripture, into a song. Or you associate it with a song. Or you associate it with somebody. Or you associate it with a name. You have formed the mnemonics within your heart that will help you to quickly remember. And that is one way we can get the word and hide it in our hearts. So that when moments of temptation come, the word will just, you know, it will just pop up because it has been stored. Another step into...
Just to drive it home. They said there was a sister who had a problem with hatred. You know what she did? She copied out 1 Corinthians 13 every day and read it and memorized it. And memorized it and spoke it, and every day she will read it and copy it out. So that was her own way of dealing with hatred. So just, you know.
Another way that Madame Guyon did hers was to read the word and then pray over that word. That is, you are using that scripture to pray. Okay, and the more you do that, the word is sinking in, is resting within your soul. Amen.
Okay.
The next step into meditation is heed. You move from hide to heed. H-E-E-D. Heed. You are taking heed to the word. So while you are meditating, as you have taken heeding the word in your heart, you begin to ask yourself, how do I take heed to this word? Remember, you are still lying on your bed or you haven't gotten out of bed. You have just finished reading the scripture. You have recited it. Then the next step, you ask yourself, how do I take heed to this word? And it comes in various ways. Maybe sometimes you just write it down that, okay, today, what I will do with this word, I will do so and so. I'm going to write it out like he has just said. You know, let me see it every day so that it will always remind me.
You can write it on a poster.
You can write it on a poster.
Put it on the...
Places that I go that are likely to cause me to stumble. I'm taking heed. I have to avoid it. Or are there some idiosyncrasies within me that will make me do so and so? How do I avoid? By the time you're doing that, you are taking heed to that word. Amen.
Amen.
And the next one is hope. So I call it the three H. You know, in our teaching, from head hide you go to heed, from heed you go to hope. And that means also what am I expecting this word to? To achieve. What do I hope to achieve? Or what am I... Because the last one that I wrote down here is expectation. Because when you have taken action on a word, you must have an expectation. What do I expect this word to do in me? And that is also where it is coupled with faith. So that it will now profit us. So these four steps, if we're able to take them, then you just discover that you have spent enough time meditating on the word. It can be a story. It can be a verse. It can be a character in the scripture. And it can be just a situation that you read in the scripture. And you just want to meditate on it. By the time you take this step, it throws up the light and the understanding. And as you now begin to pray, you are praying those things. You are praying the areas of difficulties that you see. Amen.
Amen.
Heed,
heed,
heed. Heed, hope, and expect.
Okay. Now, don't mind me, but I just want to tell you something. The word music, do you know where it comes from? Who can tell me? I said, do you know? Muse. Who said muse? What does muse mean? You are musing. You are thinking. That means you are turning it around in your head. Music. So that is how you got the music, you know. So when something is in your heart, it's dancing around. You know, a word is dancing around. You are musing about it. And part of that music, you may even talk about it, give it melody, speak about it, you know. So those are ways of keeping the word. You know, screensaver. You have a good in memory. You put it on your phone saver, so phone screen. You can write a scripture, put it on your bathroom, put it, you know, in your kitchen. Where you are going to, that word. You say this word. You are not going anywhere. I must think about it. And you know, your body and my body need energy. This morning, there is no discussion. This body must get a fresh supply. Is it not? If you don't, when you come here, that's how you will chew Coca-Cola, you will drink Coke, you will do everything. Why? Because the energy level, your head is saying, look, I need life. And it's making you like this. What is making you generally telling you, you also shift more blood to your head. That's why you lie down to sleep. Do you understand? So whatever you do, your body must have energy. Also, the soul is an entity. The soul is a personality just like your body is. Also needs energy. And that energy comes from the word. Man, the soul, does not live by bread alone. But by what? The energy that comes from the word. You know, so, as you give time to the body, also think of the inward man. Jesus spoke about this inward man. Amen. And you need to also, you know, bring life. So the more the word of God is circulating in you, the more life you are drawing from it. And the more benefit and more impact it's making. So we've looked at that. But let's look at the treasure. What does scripture talk about treasure? There's a scripture that talks about treasure. Does anybody remember? There's one popular one. Eh? Okay. That's where your heart will be. Good. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. That's very good. Yes, which other one? That's not really the one I'm looking for. Somebody says, we have this treasure where? In an earthen vessel. What is the treasure you have? What treasure do we have in one? What is the earthen vessel? Then what is the treasure? Yes, who knows? Who can? The people on this side. What is the treasure we have? Because see, the devil that tempt old people, like you said, that tempt young people. So there's no difference. In the spirit, there's no difference between I'm a small boy and a big girl. Nothing like that. Because lie is lie. Amen. So, any answer here? What's this treasure in 18 verse? Someone said the seed of Christ. The life of God. The word of God. Yes, what's the treasure? Spirit of God. Which one do I want? We're all discussing that. We all agree what the treasure is. The word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is a person. Jesus is the word of God, isn't it? So there are different types of word of God. Which one are we talking about now? Amen. Before we answer that, let's look at what happened to the man. He said he found the treasure. So is it possible that treasure was there and he didn't know? Is that possible? Okay. So now, if we say this body is the earthen vessel, bro, can we? Okay, if this is the earthen vessel, so can we be that man? That is, there's a treasure hid in me, but I'm not aware. Is that possible? Yeah. Asa, you are shaking your head. You agree with me? Say yes now. Say yes, you agree with me. He agrees with me. Okay. So, there is a treasure. There may be a treasure hidden, but we have not found it. Let's look at one, give you an example. There's a young girl called Chimamanda Adichie. She started out as a medical student. He said, this thing is not working. He said, this thing is not working. She ran away. Right now, she's everywhere. So did she discover a treasure? But there was a time she didn't know the treasure. So now we're using natural to go to the spirit. Okay, so me and you may be Chimamanda Adichie. There's a treasure, but I have not seen it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's possible that there's a treasure. All right? Now, there are different ways that you can look at this treasure. One, it may be a talent. It may be ministry calling. It may be a purpose and focus. Let's even look at it naturally, in the natural sense. A gift, yeah. Let's even look at natural. That's not where I'm going to be. I'm just digressing. You know? Today, it's a broken. Shoe is moving now. Shoe is moving. Now, there are many. They say, now, people are buying shoe. You say, eh? Oh, yeah, now, what will life do? You follow. Then after 6 months, so that should, that is the one. He said, "Now, it's home cooking utensils." He said, "People must buy things to cook, so you close your shop and you go and learn how to sell cooking utensils." The one you said, they come in the night and carry it, everything gone. You say, "Oh God, why is my own like that? Okay? No breakthrough in my life." He said, "Yeah, come. There is a leadership seminar, how you can make money from a recharge card." He said, charge card. Okay, let's follow. What is happening? What are you looking for? Okay, there's another one, no? Say, sister. Now, wow. No brother. Say, no brother. So, that there's a conference. Let's go to the conference. You dress very well. Maybe a brother will see us. You come to the conference, and you see in front. Everybody that passes, you say, at the end of the conference, meet the assistant. Say, any show? Say, now, wow. No show for that conference. So nobody looked at me and said, who say hi? Let's believe God for Mr. Wright. Then you say the internet, there you can get something on the internet. Then you also go there. And then, yes. You're looking for me. You're looking for somebody. Say, I need something in my life. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Say amen, because that's the reality. So, yeah, it says Christians should not do like that. But you see, the reality is you must see the treasure. And it comes as a revelation, is it not? It comes as the eyes will be opened to see. You know, so remember, this was a digression, you know, taking it by side. But it's important that as people of God, we have treasure. There's a calling, there's a gifting, there's a ministry, there is an ability in you, and you need to find it, you need to define it. And that will help you, but that's by design. Now, the treasure I'm looking at is the treasure of Christ. Christ in the soul is the biggest treasure. Now, how do we know it's the biggest treasure? How can we prove? The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to do what? To gain all the world. And to do what? To lose his soul. You know, I was talking to a brother. I said, you know, when you are given a post, as a Christian, what do you want? You want more money? You'll get money. But you see, after 2-3 years, they will come and tell you they have appointed another person. And before you know, the man will even drive you away from that place and take over. And they will, in fact, all the things you have done, they will turn it around and forget you. So you, as a believer, what have you gained? You have more money, you have built house. At the end of the day, you have built a house. What have you gained? You go to school, you get one paper. They say, yeah, Mr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. After some days, you will forget that paper. Rat will even eat itself. But what impact has it made in the soul? Amen. So this parable is speaking about value. It's speaking about value. And the question is, have you seen the value of Christ within your soul? Have you seen the value? And then, if you have seen it, what is your response? Because when the man said it, there was a response. Anybody who sees the value must respond to it. Let's look at the example of the man that was in the tombs. He was fighting, doing all sorts of things. And then the Bible says Jesus ministered to him and he was in his what? Right mind. What did he do? The Bible said that he went about everywhere declaring it, publishing it, blazing it abroad. So much, you know. So, how you know you have seen is your response. The change in the lifestyle to engage that word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, how do you know there's a change in the lifestyle? He says he went and sells everything that he has. So in other words, he's telling you there were other treasures he had. So the question is, how does Christ compare with other values, other treasures in our lives? Amen. How do we respond? In our daily lifestyle, how does Christ measure up? You know, are there things in our life more important than Christ? Anything that is ranked more than Christ is an idol, will be a competitor. Amen. Will be a competitor. So let me throw it up. There may be other perspectives, but in my thinking, Christ in the soul is the ultimate prize, is the ultimate treasure. Brazil, give Brazil.
I just want to say that before even selling, you know, there was this response of joy. You know, it's like a man who wins a lottery. You cannot hide the joy in that man's life. It has a response of joy, and even that joy can make you not to eat. Have you ever had an experience where you're overwhelmed with something and hunger will just fly away? You pass an exam or something happens to you and you are filled with joy. You know, so the first response is that joy that comes to you. And we all had experience when we were born again. You know, when you were truly born again, that you had this joy that you can't explain. You know, and for us, it was like nothing. The whole world is, you are looking at the whole world in a different light. We are not looking at things from God's perspective, you know, and so something that overwhelms you to the point where even your response to issue, somebody does something to you, you just laugh. It doesn't bring any anger in your heart, you know, because there's a joy that has come because of the treasure that has come to you. Praise the Lord.
So in other words, can you look back? We are alive. Practical, look back. Just take a stroll. Is there anything that has happened to you that is of more value than Christ in you? Is there anything? Some of you have big degrees. You have married wife, you have children, you have everything. Which experience would you put highest? If they ask you, knock you down. Like they told somebody, if you are lost in the desert, what are the things you wish you had? And she said, I wanted a Bible, because that one will take me back, is it not? The next thing, I want water. There was the third one. It's the third thing I mentioned. What? Well, I don't know. I don't need.